Well, I've been asked to give this morning a short homily on joy, and that's a perfect topic to talk about at Christmas time, this concept of joy. What is it? Where does it come from? How do we get it? There are, of course, a lot of popular culture references to joy and ways to get joy, especially around this time of year. It's almost New Year's, and so I'm sure you've seen a lot of magazine covers, which always happens. 5 steps to a better life, 7 ways to cinch in the old waistline, all those different ways to make yourself healthier and happier. And these things are not just new. There have been ways to get happier throughout all of mankind. Epicurus, the philosopher of ancient Greece, had a very famous one. A 4-step elimination of anxiety. Here are 4 ways to eliminate anxiety for your life. Are you ready? This is very exciting. I'm going to tell you how to do it according to Epicurus. First, don't fear God. Second, don't worry about death. If there's not a God, then you don't have to worry about death. Sounds good. We're doing good so far. Third, what is good is easy to get. And lastly, what is terrible is easy to endure. What he's saying is these terrible things that might happen, pain, don't worry about it because you'll die and then it's over and that's okay. And these good things that you want, they're easy, they're cheap. Just be who you are. Don't go after extravagant things. Just have your the things you need, food, shelter, and that sort of things, things that make you happy in a temporary sense. Those are easy to get, and that is the way to happiness. And this type of thinking, this easy way of going, is very popular even in our culture today. A lot of modern philosophers speak of happiness, obtaining happiness in the same way. Don't attach yourself to things too much because they will just disappoint you. Just be who you are and don't go all in on anything. But this is no path to joy. Joy is a risk-taking affair and a wonderful one. And I'm going to show, I hope, through the Word, how Christian joy is something that is everlasting. It's well worth the risk. It's well worth the pain of life. It's well worth the pain of getting deeply involved in relationships. It's well worth the pain sometimes of getting deeply involved in a church. In the Charles Dickens novel, A Christmas Carol, which is also very popular this time of year, the narrator says this of Ebenezer Scrooge, "Darkness is cheap," and Scrooge liked it. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. Sometimes it's easier to live in the dark. Sometimes it's easier to say, there's nothing bigger than just me and my problems or the way I want to live. And so I'm just going to get by. But it's a Band-Aid. It is a Band-Aid for great wounds that we really have deep in our hearts. And we see examples of this all the time, how that doesn't work just to get by. God wants us to go deep. To go deep in knowing Him, to go deep in knowing each other, and to take that risk, because the result that we see is one of great joy. As we read earlier in our service, here we have the shepherds out there in the fields, and it's dark, and the angels come into that darkness, and they bring with them this great light. And it was scary. Of course it's scary to have that darkness penetrated. But what they say is, don't be afraid. Because what I bring is great news, good news, sorry, of great joy. And the result that you see is the shepherds. They want to share it. They want to leap for joy. They go and tell everyone about it. There's that outward expression of joy when we get news like this. And then we see Mary. And we read in verse 19, Mary treasured up these things in her heart. She embodies that quietness, the gentle joy that is sometimes so often felt. Joy is a difficult thing to define. Does that mean you're always bouncing off the walls in this great happiness and just sort of, bouncing all over the place? Or does it also mean you have that quiet peace about you in your heart in knowing that no matter what comes, the joy of the Lord is in my heart and I have a hope for an everlasting joy that gives me that quiet joy right now? It's fascinating to me to see in God's word how often joy is connected to something that is very difficult. Joy in suffering, joy in persecution. That's a concept that is repeated. Joy in those types of occurrences. That's a difficult thing for us to muster. It's a difficult thing for us to think about. I want to read for you Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7. This is a psalm of David. And this is while he's being persecuted, he's being sought after, people are seeking after his life. And he says this, "Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song." This is what he says. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. I hope this is all of our story, these two verses right here. He has heard my cry. We know we have sin in our hearts. We need to cry out to our Savior for rescue, just as David needed to be saved from those who were trying to attack him. Because the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. And that's the thing that's the leap we need to take. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. And then the result is my heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. The easiest way to illustrate this, I think, is that if you had a friend come over to stay at your house, and there was a bill sitting out, and this friend decided to pay this bill for you, and you came home, and the bill was, let's say, for 40 cents. And your friend picked up the tab, he paid the 40-cent phone bill or whatever it might be. You come home, and you say, "Well, thank you, that's really nice. You know, I can now buy a can of soda or something like that." But if a friend comes and stays at your house, and there's a bill on for a big car repair or something like that, and it's $3,000, and your friend says, "I got that, I'm going to pick that up for you. I paid that bill." And then you're like, "Whoa, that's mind-blowing. That is a huge cost," and causes you to have this inward great joy in your hearts because the risk, the stakes were so high in that case. And that's what we see here with David. What huge risk. And we should know that of our own lives too, that there's a great weight in our hearts. There's a great cost that Jesus took with him on the cross. And the result is a heart that leaps for joy. And the joy that we have is outward too. It's shared in community. Do you ever see this when sports teams win a big game? It's an amazing thing that Marcy and I always marvel about. These are large adult individuals, and when they win a big game or make an amazing play, they jump up and down like children. They jump for joy. They're high-fiving. They're doing silly little dances, and that's an amazing thing. I doubt we really do that very often in our own jobs and in our own lives. Maybe we should. It's because the stakes are so great. They feel that heavy on their heart. And they feel the joy, the abundant joy. And it just takes them over. It's a physical thing. It's amazing that our Lord Jesus came and took a physical body and experienced things in our body that we've experienced. And we feel those things that are of him as well in our bodies. We feel the joy. We know what it means to have joy that the Lord himself has given to us. And Christian joy goes even further than just saying circumstances are really good. Let's jump for joy. Sometimes circumstances are not so good, and we still have a joy in our hearts. We don't always have to jump for joy like the athletes who just won the big game. You have that quiet joy. It can be just as powerful. No fake smiles, no faking through it is needed, because the Christian joy is an eternal one in good times and in bad. We have that peacefulness, that quiet joy of knowing that all things will work out for good for those who love him. Are we then crying out for mercy? Are we willing to say, like David, that we need help with anything? That's that taking that risk. Do I need help from my Lord? I confess that I have not been great in my life of keeping up male relationships, other guys. And it takes a risk. It takes something from me to give myself to them and them to me. And this is something that we are meant to do, but we often find it so hard to do. Sometimes it's easier to stay in the darkness of not being known and not knowing other people. But what amazing joy is open to us when we go deeper, when we know other people on a deeper level, because we were made for something more. We're made for more than just getting by. We are made for joy. Pastor Ron, when teaching our communion class with 6- and 7-year-olds, we talk about what different animals are made for, the way birds are made to fly in the air and fish are made to swim in the sea. And of course, we ask them, what are we made for? And there's a wonderful way to answer this with the children's catechism, but there's a great way to answer it too for the adult version, the Westminster Catechism. And it's the first question, what is the chief end of man? And it says this, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We were made for that, to have joy. What a wonderful thing. We were made for light, not for darkness. When I was a kid, I went going down a slide at the elementary school where I went, and I went down this slide the wrong way. And I won't give you any graphic details as to what happened, but I hurt myself quite bad. And I went down it in an illegal fashion, so I didn't want anyone to know how I had gone down the slide. So I did put a little Band-Aid on my wound, and I thought this would be fine. That's a way no one will ever know. It will heal, and I will not get in trouble. I wanted to stay in the darkness. But, of course, it didn't turn out very well. It was discovered, of course, as I did not get better very quickly. But it was too late to get stitches on this wound. And here I am now, and I still have a scar from this incident. I was so afraid to take that risk and say, I need help, please help me. And it could have been fixed up. We could have had that joy and a laugh about it probably. But instead, it is something that I still live with. And that's a very bad thing. We've got to take that risk and go into light instead of darkness. Jesus gives an illustration of this in John chapter 16 when he talks about a mother going through the pain of childbirth. And when she has the baby, she has this overabundant joy, and she doesn't remember that pain anymore. And so often the Apostle Paul talks about this joy, rejoicing even while suffering, because one day there will be no more pain, there will be no more crying, there will be no more sadness. We must have that kind of eternal view of our joy. In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter writes about this very same thing, about having this inexpressible joy that comes with knowing the Lord Jesus. And I hope that's what we take away this morning from our worship service. I hope that's what you take into your day, is having this inexpressible joy. And the way we wonder about Jesus, it causes something that we can't even say with words. And that's often why we sing, because that's something that helps us to express ourselves in a new way. It lifts our voices to new heights. And even then, we're like, I can't even express that kind of joy through song. And I hope you feel that. I hope you feel that today. Because this joy, that kind of joy, is the gift of God Himself. The Holy Spirit brings us joy, brings joy to all believers. And we know that that is a gift. That's something that we can't get just by trying to get by, but we're on our knees. We're crying out to our Father in heaven to give us that kind of inexpressible joy. So I hope you no more try these little tricks to happiness that you see all the time, 4 steps to a better life, but thinking, what is my joy? And are you willing to take the risk to know the Lord more deeply, to know others more deeply, and as a result, gain the great joy that the Lord wants for us? C.S. Lewis said it really well. He said, if you want serenity, don't give your heart to anything. Put your heart in a little casket so that it never breaks. It will become so hard, it is unbreakable. You become non-human. But let your heart be out. Let your heart be vulnerable. Let your heart take risks, and you will see the great joy that is in Christ.